Hello, everyone, and welcome to JTalk Extra Time. I'm James Taylor, and joining me for the second part of our J2 season review is John Steele. All right, John, how are you doing?
All right, James. Yeah, all good. Thanks. Glad to be back. And I think sort of supporter or listener reception to part one was really good. So thanks to everyone who listened and downloaded part one.
Yes, and thanks to those who contributed as well. And in this part, we also have a few more people contributing for various teams. We're covering the teams from 9th to 15th in this pod. And the team that finished 9th was Tokyo Verde. They had 16 wins, 13 draws and 13 losses, 61 points. So they were just a few points out of the playoffs. And to talk about them, we're very pleased to welcome Lewis, who's at Illusion of Ease on Twitter.
Overall, I think we'd have to say that the season's been another disappointment, really. A team like Verde should really be... they always go into each season looking for promotion or at least a playoff spot, you know, as maybe as delusional as that might be. They should... I feel like they're a club of a big enough stature that they should be challenging for at least a playoff spot. And I think this season in particular, the disappointment is in the fact that the start of the season was tremendous. I think they went 8 games unbeaten. And they looked really like Ginhori had taken the form of the end of last season and kind of run with it into the new one. But it quickly fell apart. I think after those 8 games, it was a home game to Ruasa Kumamoto, where we basically kind of almost a perfect return to form of some of the defensive errors of the 2021 season. And we just fell apart from that point. I think we got, I think, one win between mid-April and mid-June, basically, until Hori finally got the bullet. So that, I think, ultimately cost us. When Joel Hooker came in, he certainly steadied the ship to a very reasonable extent. It looked like that might actually be a turning point. Then we lost Arai Mizuki to Portugal. And then we kind of lost a lot of our kind of attacking impetus. And from that point, we really, really struggled for goals. So as much as Joe Hooker managed to steady the ship in terms of the kind of bomb-scared defending that was so much a part of the Hori period, we had another dip in form after Arai left. And by that point, the damage was done. So these two big dips in form basically cost us. In the end, like we obviously finished very strongly, I think we finished only about 3 points off of the playoff spot in the end. But you know, 3 points, 10 points makes no difference. You're not in the playoffs. So overall, yeah, another kind of typically disappointing season for Verde, unfortunately. First half of the season, Arai Mizuki, I think, would be the most important player. I think he was a cut above in terms of his ability to create chances, actually get goals. And I think it was very, very clear how much he offered when he left, actually, when he went to Portugal. The number of goals we were able to get, or even chances we were able to create, absolutely fell off a cliff after he went. And we took a long time to regroup from that, hence that huge period under Joel Hooker when we couldn't buy a win. Second half of the season, when things began to stabilise, we had that cracking run at the end of the season, there's a few decent contenders. I think obviously I thought Mateus had a really, really good season this season, actually, much improved from the previous seasons. Babasea, he's a lot of people are kind of singing his praises these days. Sato Ryoga as well, obviously probably the most kind of naturally talented striker at the team, in the club. But I would probably go for Ndoka Boniface actually. I thought he has his moments. He still has his wee brain farts, but overall, I think he by the end of the season he was keeping things simple. He was the absolute key part of the more, how would I say, the more stable defence of the latter half of the season under Joe Hooker. And I think by the end of the season, he'd actually formed a pretty solid partnership with Taniguchi as well, the young centre-half that's come in this season. So if we can keep both of those together next year, I'll be pretty happy with that. Biggest surprise this season was the cup run. I know the Emperor's Cup might not be held in the same degree of prestige as cup competitions elsewhere, but the Verdes have had a rotten record in it in recent years as well. They've got a pretty good knack of getting papped out by university teams. But regardless, I was pretty impressed with them this season. I thought they were marginally the better team against Sanga in the quarters as well. And yeah, to see them make it that far while knocking out Frontari in the way there was, yeah, pretty good, pretty enjoyable. Biggest disappointment was the dip in form after Arai left. I think at that stage we had maybe a couple of games in hand and we're looking pretty good for getting back into the playoff spots. And then we went, I think, six games or so without a win. And that was basically it after that. And that kind of put paid to any of the last hopes of a playoff spot. And we kind of rallied after that, but the damage was done by then. So yeah, that dip in form, the second dip in form of the season, was probably the most frustrating part. I think the nadir was, the kind of low point was getting beat away to Ruasa Kumamoto. I went on an absolutely apoplectic wee huff after that, raging, to put it lightly. And I think at that stage, we all recognised the shuttle bus back was full of pretty miserable Verde fans. And I think everybody recognised at that point that that was that for another season. So yeah, I'd go with that second dip in form after Arai left. A few standout games towards the end of the season. Niigata at home. And Okayama at home the last two games of the season. Good wins. But I think Niigata were already promoted by that point. Okayama were guaranteed a playoff place by that stage. So for me, the main standout would be the Frontale Emperor's Cup game. They were obviously the reigning champions at that time, J-League champions at that time. And to go there and win, especially after such an up and down season, was class, honestly. I think it was one of Joel Hooker's first games in charge as well. It was just an outstanding defensive performance all game. The away end was bouncing. As I remember, we got a wee bit of a telling off from the stadium announcer because it was still during that period when there was no chant and singing allowed. But I think, yeah, emotions got the better of a few people, and yeah, there was a lot of racket coming from the away end. So yeah, a tremendous night. So that would be my standout for this season. Obviously, this season we had the two managers. Started off with Horry. I think he got the job for another season based on the pretty strong end to the 2021 season. Started well, obviously. I think a lot of us were pleasantly surprised that we seemed to have put to bed some of the kind of very apparent weaknesses of the 2021 season. But yeah, after the home defeat to Ruaso and the massive dip in form after that, you could see all of the problems re-emerging. Same problems as well, these kind of catastrophic collapses, those proper, like, up 3-0 and don't win, down 3-0 at half-time, those types of really, really, really shambolic stuff that I think has kind of checkered his entire time at Verde, and Nagai's before him. So, yeah, Joel Fuku, I think, is a big improvement. What we absolutely needed was someone to steady the ship, and he's done that, I think. I don't think anyone can argue that Verdi are a weaker defensive unit than they were before him. So I think it's will be a matter of who we can keep, how we can reinforce the team in the close season, and whether or not he can marry some of the more solid defensive strengths that he brings to Verdi, with some of a bit more attacking flair. So yeah, I'm relatively content with him. I think the jury's still out, but overall, I think we're definitely a stronger team under him than we were under either Nagai or Horry. So yeah, we'll see. Next season, we'll kick on. But I'll take him for the time being, definitely. For next season, I think so much of it depends on how the transfers go. Obviously, there's a lot of talk of a couple of players leaving Verdi, Sartorioga and Babasea being the main ones. So I think Sartorioga seems to be quite heavily linked with Avispa Fukuoka, but nothing's been confirmed one way or the other at the moment, or as of this recording anyway. So hopefully we'll keep them, but I doubt it. So with that said, I think it absolutely depends on how Joe Hooker reinforces for next season. I really hope that we get a couple of specific positions reinforced. Obviously, if Sato goes, there's nobody left in the club who offers the same kind of natural striking ability that, as he does at the moment. Nah, not for me. So if he goes back to Kashima, then I would really hope that we bring in, you know, at least a couple more decent forwards. I think the midfield needs strengthened. Across the middle three, you've got people like Ishiura, Kajikawa, Ide, whenever he appears, from the kind of odd times he ever appears. And I think a lot of that kind of middle three at the moment, they're a little similar. So I would definitely be after somebody who can provide that kind of solidity and strength, especially if Baba leaves. Baba played that role quite well actually towards the second half of the season. So if presuming he leaves, we would definitely need a replacement for that, and definitely another a creative attacking midfielder. We've gone with a lot of wingers in that position. Byron Vasquez is, offers that to an extent. Arai Mizuki did, he's gone. Yamashita, he left for Yokohama at the beginning of last season. So these types of like attacking creative wingers, if he wants to continue that system, we'll definitely need a couple more, or at least one more. I'd like to see someone who would offer something similar in the middle. I think Kajikawa probably took that the role of Sato Yuhei when he went to Korea at the beginning of last season. Started well, but I don't think that's his natural position. He's quite cautious. He's one of those guys that gets the ball and passes. His first instinct is to pass backwards. So I would kind of like someone who can, you know, get a ball box to box, and create something that way. So yeah, I think it really, really depends on how we strengthen, who we lose, and kick on from there. The expectations for next season, I don't know. I don't know. I always feel that, as many other people do, I think that the Verdi are always one or two players a little bit short of a proper title challenge. And so yeah, it 100% depends on the transfers this season. I would hope that they've probably got enough in the tank just about for at least a playoff push. But if we do lose a couple of those players, such especially people like Sartorioga, I would, yeah, I wouldn't be expecting much unless they're properly replaced. So yeah, I think a lot of it depends on the transfers this season.
Extra time. Right, that was Lewis at Illusion of Ease on Twitter to talk about Tokyo Verdy. Thanks very much for sharing your thoughts. Now, John, I'm afraid we can't put it off any longer. We have to talk about the 10th place team, Jeff United. Chiba had a record of 17 wins, 10 draws, 15 losses. They also had 61 points. What are your thoughts on Jeff?
Yeah, well, that's a very loaded question, James. I'll try and keep it brief and restrict it to just the 2022 season. Yeah, as you mentioned, Jeff finished 10th on 61 points. If you compare that to 2021, they're two places worse off because in 2021 they finished 8th with 66 points. So they haven't really made much progress, from last season. On the other hand, you know, they only finished about, you know, 3 or 4 points off the playoffs. I think they were 3 points adrift of sixth at the end. So you could spin it both ways as a kind of regression from the previous season. On the other hand, they were only a sort of win and a draw away from sneaking into the top six. And yeah, the manager, Yoon Jung-kwan, he's had 3 years in charge and has led them to finishes of 14th, 8th, and as mentioned, 10th. I think in time, we'll probably come to see his job as quite a good one. I think he steadied what could potentially have been a sinking ship, you know, even further down the table at Jeff. So he's kind of got them pointing in the right direction overall, but he hasn't been able to get them into the playoffs and is now leaving. I thought this season the team had a pretty good core, and that started with the goalkeeper, Shota Arai, who was a pretty consistent performer. The back three, it was usually a back three that was used, and Daisuke Suzuki, Jan Mingyu, and Iki Arai turned into a really good unit. Iki Arai, by the way, got 8 goals from the left centre-back position. That's made him the top scorer this season. So I think that perhaps tells you where the problems were elsewhere in the team. And to come on to that, Jeff only scored 44 goals this season, the lowest in the top half, apart from Blabitz at Akita. Brazilian forward Thiago de Leonso was well liked, I think, by supporters, but a bit of a flop. He only managed 4 goals in 27 appearances. I think the probable high point from a Jeff supporters' point of view would be the continuing sort of emergence of some promising youngsters. So we'll mention, as is customary, Solomon Sakuragawa. He got 7 goals up front, and even younger Keita Buenica got 5. So it's interesting to see their careers progressing again. I think considering they were so close to being in the top six, it has to go down as a missed opportunity this season for Jeff. But personally, when I saw them, I always felt they were just a little bit short of, I'm not even quite sure what it was, maybe a bit of quality or goals, certainly, but they never really convinced me that they would be a top six team. So, yeah, they'll go again with a new manager next season. What do you think, James?
Yeah, I was wondering about did they progress from last year or did they regress? And wondering, maybe this is a slight regression, having based it on, finishing position and points compared to last year. But I think they did pretty well, especially when you consider the calamitous start when they lost their first game to Iwate. But they only scored 44 goals, which I don't think is enough. They only conceded 42, which means their defence is very good. They had a lot of 1-0s, 5 1-0 wins and 7 1-0 losses, so obviously a lot of tight games. They only scored more than 2 goals in a game 3 times. So there were a lot of close games there. And I think perhaps you mentioned Sakuragawa and Buanica, Thiago Leonso, and I think maybe they needed one of the forwards to produce a few more goals, or someone from midfield to produce a few more. They did have Tommy Amiki; he got 7 goals. By the way, all the games that he scored in, Jeff won. There are only 2 J2 players who scored more than 5 goals, where all of the games they scored in were wins. And the other one is also from a team we're going to talk about in this episode. And of those 7 goals, 5 of them were the decider, so like the winning goal. So that was pretty good from him. Another good year from him. Jeff, they didn't create, I guess they didn't create enough chances, which is why they didn't score many, obviously. But they scored 13 of their 44 goals from set pieces, which is why Iki Arai was their top scorer, because a lot of his were from corners. And they also didn't give up many chances, though. I think they were ranked number one in J2 for like, what is it, expected goals against or something. So you can take those stats with a pinch of salt, but I think that shows that they didn't give up many chances. So defensively, they did pretty well. They also had a good knack for not throwing results away. When they took the lead, they went on to win most of the time. And also, wins after conceding first, they managed to get some decent results even after they conceded first. But they were never really in the playoff picture. They were just kind of on the outside. They were only in the top six for two match days. They were pretty comfortable in mid-table all year. A slight threat mid-season. So they were kind of seventh, eighth or ninth. But yeah, I guess it's the eternal conundrum. Is it right to expect more from Jeff? I don't think we will ever answer that question.
I'm not even going for it.
Yeah, I'm going to leave this silence and chuckle in for the listeners to enjoy. All right, that's enough, Jeff, for this season. Let's move on to the 11th place team, VFR and Nagasaki. They finished 5 points behind Jeff and Verdi. And to talk about their season, I'm very pleased to welcome Daniel Kuroda at Nagasapo EN on Twitter.
Hello, everyone. This is Daniel from Nagasaki Blue and Orange, the VFR Nagasaki supporter page on Twitter and Instagram. And in case you are not following those pages yet on Twitter, it is @Nagasapo_EN. And on Instagram, it's @Nagasaki_blue_and_orange. And today I'm here to speak about the 2022 season of VFR and Nagasaki. So first of all, some thoughts on the season overall. Obviously, we finished in 11th place, which is a big disappointment considering the expectations we went into the season with. And although the team went on an 11-game unbeaten run around mid-season, the football was really hard to watch at times in the first half of the year and also really at the end after the COVID break. And I think maybe signing big names like Cristiano maybe led to expectations that were a bit too high, because in retrospect, I don't think the scouting was really good. Guys like Seiya Maekuma and Nagura and Wellington Ratto weren't replaced accurately. And the team was really lacking some youth and energy. So as a result, there were many uninspired performances. And although I always thought that the team really tried, they just couldn't get it done. Like, it was frustrating to watch at times. And then when the cluster of COVID infections happened in August and more than half of the team was affected, I think that felt just like it was the dagger in 2 hour season. But anyway, there were some positives as well. So I would especially point out Edgar Jr. and Junya Yoneda, who are my two best players of the season. Yoneda has just developed into like a really important guy in the last 2-3 years. He has been with the club already since 2018, so it's just good to see someone being at the club for so long and working himself up. And yeah, he's 27 now, and I heard, or let's say I know for sure, relatively sure, that Caio Cesar is leaving. Because I got this info from Caio himself. And yeah, if this really is happening, then I would also expect Yoneda to be a strong possibility to be the captain next season. After all, he was already one of the captains this year. Yeah, and as for Edgar Jr., he is just so important as a goal scorer. Like 12 goals and 2 assists in 41 games don't seem too impressive for a guy like him, but Nagasaki just struggled to create good chances in many games. And to put it into perspective, Asahi Uenaka and Cristiano combined for 11 goals. So that shows how impressive this number actually really is. And if you look at some of the goals, like his finishes are like half of his goals, I would say, are finishes where you think there are just maybe 2-3 players in J2 who would score those goals. And by now he is actually the team's leading scorer in the J-League. So he has 32 goals now in 84 appearances. And as he took over Koichi Sato, who has 31 goals now, and he actually had 45 games more at the club than Edgar Junior has at this point. A big surprise this season for me was the timing of the sacking of Hiroshi Matsuda. Like, I have to say that I wasn't really surprised that he was sacked because I expected it already in May. But then it happened in mid-June. And at that point, I didn't expect it too much anymore because the team had sort of stabilized. They were still not playing too well, but the results were coming in and they were in fifth or sixth place. So, yeah, that was a bit strange. But I think that in retrospect, maybe the club really decided already in May to replace Mr. Matsuda. And it was announced in mid-June that Fabio Carrier was coming in. So since he was in Brazil, and when it was announced, and it was already announced that his two assistants were coming with him and that he was taking over the team in 10 days. So I think just everything was set already. So I think they took a couple of weeks perhaps to really work everything out with Fabio Carrier. The biggest disappointment of the season then was this COVID break, mostly because it simply was something that, like, nobody had any impact on it. And I have to say, I just didn't expect it for Vifaren anymore. Like, it completely caught me off guard when it happened. And as I said, it felt like it was like the dagger into our season because, when you have to take a break of several weeks in the second half of the season and quite many players cannot practice for a certain time, and then you have to play all those games in just in such a short period, it's just difficult to handle, and the team just never got any consistency back after that. Yeah. So the next point was the best games or results of the year. So as for the results, I really enjoyed beating Machida Selvia twice. If you follow my account, you know that that I'm not the biggest fan of Ranko Popovic. So getting two wins against him is always nice. And especially the home game when Shunya Yoneda scored a winner from just outside of the box, I really enjoyed that. And then also the away wins against Sendai and Kofu, because I just didn't expect to get more than a point from those games. And especially Kofu has been such a tough opponent. Like, Vifaren and Kofu always have really close games, and there haven't been too many meetings between the two, but when they play each other, it's always close games. So getting an away win against them is very nice. But as for my favorite games, I would have to go with the final two of the season. I went to the final home game of Vifaren. In case you don't know, I am from Germany and I live in Germany. So it was the first time in 3 years, exactly 3 years, that I could go back to Japan and go to a game in Nagasaki. So we lost 1-0 against Renofa Yamaguchi, but I didn't really care about the result at that point. So yeah, that was my favorite game of the year. And then also the final one was an away game against Omiya, and there was a public viewing event in Nagasaki City at the Jima Messe. And yeah, it was the venue was completely full. All seats were taken. Many people were standing in the back of this hall. And I even managed to meet Vivi Kun. The atmosphere was really good, and it ended 3-3, so very entertaining match. So it was a good finish to the season, regardless of the result. As for the managers this season, Hiroshi Matsuda, I have mixed feelings now, because on one hand, I think there was a problem with his style. I think it was just too conservative for a team that wanted to really go for promotion. It worked the previous season when he took over the team and they were like, bottom half of the table, and nobody really expected them to be so good anymore. And then it worked. But this season, you just saw that with his style, they really struggled to take the game in their own hands and to be proactive and to play some attacking football. They depended so much on individual players to have like a moment of magic like Cristiano or Edgar Jr. So, yeah, at the same time, though, as I said, for me, recruitment was a problem, and the club just wasn't able to replace Maikuma and Wellington Rato and Takumi Nagura, and that was also difficult to handle. So they made a huge difference the previous season, obviously. So, I don't blame Hiroshi Matsuda completely, but I just think it wasn't the right fit for a team that wanted to challenge for promotion either. And as for Fabio Carrier, he came in round after round 23. And yeah, the performances improved, actually. Like, the team looked much better when attacking. But, and also they won the first six games under him. So that looked really good. Also, Edgar Jr. got going and he scored six goals in six games in the first month when Carrier was in charge. But then there was also a problem that the team blew several leads. Like, they were up 2-0 against Ryukyu and Iwate and only got 1 point in the end from those two games. And both were home games. And then there was also the game where they led 3-0 in Kanazawa and it ended up a 3-3 draw. So I'm not sure, like, I cannot really explain this, but it just, looking back, it seems that there was a problem with the mentality of the team, because that's very unusual to blow several 2-0 or even 3-0 leads in the space of a couple of months. And it was also frustrating because finally they were really like outplaying some opponents and scoring goals, but then they still couldn't get the wins. Yeah. So, but overall, also, again, with this COVID break that happened, I have to give the benefit of the doubt to Fabio. And when he came in, I said that for me, it's not just an appointment for 2022, because it was not like we could expect him to take the team to J1 right away. And he has shown in the past that he can improve teams. He was an assistant at Corinthians for several seasons. And when he became their manager, finally, he led them to the title in Brazil. And in Saudi Arabia, he coached Al Ittihad and he took them over mid-season. And they finished 12th of 16. And the next season, they finished third under him. So I think it is worth to keep him around for next season and get him involved in the rebuilding of the squad and see what he can do. So yeah, that is also my biggest hope for next season, is that the recruitment and scouting improves, that we like, I think some of the players just have been around for too long, so the squad really needs some fixing, and that's actually the first thing that has to happen. If that doesn't happen, then it will be another season in mid-table, to be honest. I know that Wiesbaden as a club, they have been, like, the goal has been to go back to J1 for ever since they got relegated. So since they are back in J2 since 2019. And the goal has been to play in J1 as the latest when the new stadium opens. And it opens in 2024. So the club really wants to go back to J1. Next year, but for that to happen, a lot of things have to be fixed, and right now we are not in the place to say that we should go to J1, because there are too many other good teams in J2, and as of now, I'm really like, if we can challenge for the playoffs, I'd be glad. But it's a long winter ahead, so let's see what the next month bring. Yeah, that's it for me. From me for now. And before I leave, I just want to thank the JTalk and JTalk Extra Time team for their hard work this year, and also for also to everybody who follows my VFADEN pages on social media. And it's been great to be in contact with all of you, and I'm looking forward to next season. So take care, everyone, and bye for now.
Okay, that was Daniel Kuroda with his thoughts on Nagasaki. Thanks, Daniel. And next, the 12th place team, Blaublitz Akita, finished. They'd have finished level on points with Nagasaki. And to talk about them, very happy to welcome Martin Spivey at Bantam 84.
Hello, my name's Martin Spivey, and I've been watching Blaublitz Akita since way back in 2011, seen as rise from the JFL all the way up to mid-table of J2. I'm on Twitter. My handle is Bantam84, if anyone would like to follow me. And yeah, this season that we just had, 2022, I've got to say I've been very pleased with. We finished 12th, which is one place higher than last season, our first season in J2. And yeah, we had an excellent final run in. The last 10 matches, we won 6, drew 2, and lost 2. And we beat teams like Verdy, Machida, Kumamoto, Jeff, Okayama. And we actually won our last 6 away games, which is just incredible, really. So I'm very pleased with how the season has gone. As for our most important player this season, I found this a little tricky. There are a few that I would have liked to have chosen, but I think I've gone with Shota Aoki up front. He's 32, and we signed him from Gunma at the end of last season, so about a year ago. And he was our joint top scorer with 5 goals, which is, I think, 2 more than he scored in his final season with Gunma. So an improvement for him personally. But yeah, and not too bad for us. I'd like to have scored a few more, but never mind. But no, he's a really good forward. Links up play really well. He's great at holding the ball up. And a really good dribbler, actually. When you look at him, he's sort of fairly sort of tall. And you wouldn't think he was. But yeah, he can be a really good dribbler when he wants to be, in sort of small spaces anyway. And he's come up with one or two assists as well. So yeah, I think he's been a really good signing. I really like him. I hope we keep him on for next season. Or we can. Presumably the club wants to keep him, I imagine. Hopefully he'll sign a new contract. If I may offer one or two sort of close runners-up, we've got to say, you know, special mention for, you know, Yudai Tanaka in goal. He's a really good shot stopper. He's made some great saves this season. One downside, I think, would be his distribution. I mean, it's never been great, but sometimes his kicking can be really erratic. And You know, just often going out for throw-ins as he launches it and it goes out for a throw-in, or sometimes, you know, slicing it. And as he famously did, was it against Oita? And they scored to beat us 1-0 at home. And that was really frustrating seeing us. I was right in front of that. But yeah, overall, a great goalkeeper, and we'd probably be much lower down the table without him. So, you know, I think for our budget, he's probably the best we can hope for, really. Another mention would go to Yuji Wakasa, who was a centre midfielder. He left us for Okayama in the summer, and a, you know, really nice player. And actually, I watched a bit of your Okayama, and I think he doesn't really stand out, but you know, he's very good at sort of linking up play and buzzing around the pitch. And you could see he was getting a lot more touches, I think, than he was when he was with us, as it often goes long. So I think, he really, we miss him. Yeah, we miss him, but he's clearly gone on to bigger and better things with Okayama. And finally, Shuto Inaba, a sort of defensive midfielder who we've had for a couple of years. And he's just actually just signed with Machida Zelvia. So it's a shame to see him go, but you can understand it. He's 29 and, it's probably maybe a last chance for sort of a relatively big contract. And they're a bigger club, admittedly, although we did finish above them this season, I have to say. But he was a really good, at sort of tackling and blocking, and we're going to miss his defensive play. I think the biggest surprise I've sort of already just mentioned actually, but it was probably the end of season form really. In the 2021 season we ensured safety with about four or five games left, and then we really just dropped off and lost the last four matches. And I thought that would happen again this season. I think we were safe with, I can't remember now, it was six or seven games, was it? And the players seemed to find another level. I thought they might be quite tired and exhausted, it seems like, maybe Yoshida, the head coach, really sort of spurred them on and said, you've got to keep going. And several of them did. So I was very impressed, really impressed with that. It was a bit of a surprise, I thought. And just as I said before, the last 10 matches, to win six of them against some pretty decent sides as well, was a bit of a surprise. The biggest disappointment of the season, again, there aren't really that many, but I think struggling against some of the teams near the bottom, especially at home. So we lost to Tochigi 3-0 at home, Gunma 1-0, Kanazawa 3-2. And these results can happen. Obviously, look at our away record. We do it to other teams. But when you're at home, you want to see us maybe attack a bit more, especially against sort of teams around our position in the table or even lower. And you'd like to see us go out a bit more and attack. And I guess because we are a sort of counter-attacking side, it doesn't really work because the other teams sort of hold back, and then we have more of the ball, but I don't think we really know what to do with it a lot of the time. Another thing that I find a little frustrating, and I guess this is with Yoshida, is sometimes he often plays players out of position. So we've got a forward in Yuji Saito who has been playing at right back, and I don't know. He did okay, but he often sort of fouled players just outside the box, and I think we could find an actual right back to play in that position. Also, right midfield, you got Ryutaro Iyo. He was a right midfielder with the likes of Nagasaki and Sendai, and we brought him in and played him at left back, and he did well actually. Until he got a really bad injury, I think back in the spring. Unfortunately, he's been out since. But before that, I think he had four assists. So you wonder, maybe would he be better at left midfield? I don't know. But it does often, it works, I guess, but it does seem a bit odd playing players out of position. It's a minor gripe. The best game this year, I'm actually going to pick Iwate away. We won 1-0. And the reason I'm picking this game is it was my first ever Blaublitz away game. And I went with a couple of friends. We made a sort of a weekend of it. So that obviously makes it a lot more fun. But, it's a sort of tiny countryside ground. The away stand at the back behind the goal was, it was basically a wide path. It was tiny, but you're really close to the pitch. So, it wasn't a great game, and not an awful lot happened, but the goal, the winner, we were right by the goal to see it. So it was really nice being so close to the action. And yeah, and it's one of those where, you know, there's no roof. So naturally what happens is it absolutely pours it down. So we got soaked in the second half. But, you know, at the time it's a bit annoying. But, you know, they're great memories, really, overall. And I have to give a special mention to our home draw with Tokyo Verdy. So we were 3-0 down. And I couldn't go to the match. I was watching at home. And I decided to stop watching to go get my hair cut. And then on the way, I was just having a look at the scores, just seeing if anything had improved. And I saw it was 3-2. So I just sat down and I got the DAZN app up and watched the rest of the match and saw actually Wakasa equalize towards the end, make it 3-3. And that was brilliant. And I remember the away fans behind the goal at the end of the match were looking really angry with their players. So that was quite a funny image. I don't know if you can find that on the DAZN highlights, but it's well worth a watch. As for the head coach, you know, Ken Yoshida, I mean, it has to be said, he's done a great job with a small budget. I don't know what it is this year. It'd be interesting to see the figures. I guess we'll see those in a few months or next year. But I imagine it's one of the smaller budgets still. My sort of gripe, yeah, and again, I've mentioned this, I briefly touched upon this earlier, but I think he needs to come up with a plan B more often. You know, we have this sort of way of playing, this sort of defensive counter-attacking style, which, don't get me wrong, has really worked well for us, but you know, there's going to be a point where we have to kind of evolve, or we're going to slip down the league. You know, the players, he likes players who work really hard, and that's great, but I think we do also need players who can pass the ball around a bit and are comfortable on the ball. And you know, too often, as I say, when we do play the likes of, you know, Gunma or teams sort of lower down, we struggle because we have the ball and we're not really sure what to do with it. But yeah, so sometimes the football, you know, sometimes it can be hard to watch, you know, even when we've had these sort of famous victories where we've, you know, we've beaten Niigata or Yokohama, you know, it seems silly to complain, but you know, sometimes it still can be really hard to watch the matches, and you know, we spoil the play a little bit, and you know, that's great. You know, results are everything really in the end, and that's how he keeps his job. But you do hope he tries to sort of evolve, and we do try to start playing a bit more football, and you can keep that mental toughness and, you know, that hard work ethic, but have a bit more quality about you, and hopefully we'll, and that's the only way we're going to climb up the league. If, you know, if they're wanting to get into the top 10, or even, you know, heaven forbid, imagine getting close to the playoffs. It's going to take that sort of extra quality. And yeah, you know, we doubled our home wins for this, compared to, so I think the 2021 season, we had 3 home wins, which is just awful. And this season, our home form was a little bit better. We managed 6, but our away form was still, you know, much better. As for next season, I hope we try to bring some of the younger players through. Handa is a forward. He's quite small, and he still needs to bulk up a little bit, maybe, but. He scored against Iwate. I was there to see him score a goal against Iwate, and he scored another goal as well. So, I mean, a couple of goals off the bench. I think he's only featured about 6 times off the bench, maybe a maximum, you know, sort of total of about 90 minutes. But he looks like he knows where the back of the net is. And if we give him more opportunities, I think he could turn out to be a really good striker. And Takada in defence, he played briefly one match, and he looked quite good. So there are these, you know, we have some of these younger players, but we need to play them. And if, you know, if we can't give them opportunities in J2, then maybe we need to loan them out at a lower level and give them more chances. But, and yeah, I also hope, as I said, Aoki, I want to hope we can keep our better players. I didn't mention Ikeda and Koyanagi at centre-back, but they were also really bright spot for me. I think this season they've done they did really well, and Ikeda is still quite young, so I wonder if he does stay and he doesn't get snatched. I can see him maybe getting snatched this winter, but if he stays, then I can see him maybe in the summer or next winter maybe getting a move, because he's looked really good. And yeah, I hope we can bring back, I hope Io and Okino, they had long-term injuries. Okino, I think, got injured in the second game, was it? So hopefully they can come back and we can give them a new contract and we can see them looking bright again on the pitch. I really hope for them personally and for the team. And yeah, I mean, we've finished 13th, finished 12th. I guess this season 11th maybe would be nice. If we could break the top 10, even better. But I'm just being realistic and, you know, just staying in the league, I think, really would be an achievement in itself. And anything above that is a bonus. So, yeah, let's see how it goes. Thank you very much.
That was Martin Spivey with his thoughts on Blaublitz Akita. Thanks, Martin. Now, 13th place, John, was Mito Hollyhock. They were 2 points back from Nagasaki and Akita. What did you think about Mito this year?
Yeah, I think going into this season, I think that there were a lot of question marks. It sounds a bit strange to say that now they finished so comfortably in mid-table. Yeah, as you mentioned, 13th place with 54 points. Again, a marginal regression, perhaps, from the previous year. They finished 10th in 2021 and it had 5 more points. They ended up with 59. But they had just such a high turnover of players, didn't they, in the winter, and lost so many of the kind of key performers from 2021. It could be a laundry list, but I'll keep it brief. Ayumi Niikawa, the goalkeeper, Kai Matsuzaki, Masato Nakayama and Koya Okada, you know, key attackers all left. And Ryotaro Ito and Shota Fujio, they ended their loans, didn't they, at Mito. So they lost a lot of goals and firepower from the previous year. But in the end, it turned out to be another impressive season from... J2's kind of a pin-up, one of the pin-up managers, I guess, Tadahiro Akiba, in less capable hands. I still feel that this squad and this season could have turned into a bit of a relegation battle for Mito, but it just never materialised. They were comfortable in the middle for almost the whole season, and the supporters could enjoy some excellent attacking football with the handbrake nowhere to be seen. And in terms of players who did well this year, the goalkeeper, Louis Yamaguchi, was a pretty consistent performer in goal, I think. I think that mitigated the loss of Niikawa. And as we mentioned in our kind of team of the J2 season pod, James Korski, Kinoshita was a threat pretty much on a weekly basis up front. I think he ended up with about 12 goals from his 38 games. I also really liked Koshi Osaki, who is an attacking, I've written in my notes here, an attacking left back. But let's be honest, there isn't any other kind in an Akiba team. It's synonymous with everybody's an attacker, really, aren't they? So, I think Mito ended up having a quietly impressive season. I think some people might raise their eyebrows and say, how can you act so lyrical about finishing 13th? But it's important to bear in mind, it's a team with a small budget and a small support base. And as mentioned, the turnover of players was pretty high from the previous year. So I think it went well done to Mito's players and Akiba again. Of course, he's moving on now. I don't think it's announced where he will be next season, but he won't be in the technical area at Mito. It's going to be fascinating to see who takes over and whether they can propel Mito to, you know, even greater heights, or will they set about dismantling all the good work that Akiba's done. We'll have to wait and see. But I was quietly impressed. I think Akiba squeezed pretty much as much juice as he could out of the Mito orange this season. What do you think, James?
Yeah, I agree. I think another impressive year from Akiba. He, as he has done for the last few years, he's built a squad essentially from scratch, and he's managed to get them to play well together and finish comfortably mid-table. Earlier in the year, they were quite low down in the table. They started a bit slowly, but I think that is... that's to be expected when you've got an entirely new squad. It takes time for them to gel, and they did have that their first game or first couple of games postponed for COVID, which probably didn't help. I think that they were perhaps less swashbuckling than in previous years. their goals scored went down. They only scored 47 this year, but defense improved a lot. Only 46 goals against, which they still gave up. From what I understand, they gave up the second most chances on average per game in the league. The worst offenders were Kanazawa. But
I was going to say, I thought they'd just be behind Jefferson Tabinas on his own.
No, Kanazawa were pretty generous to opponents this year, as Victor will tell us in a minute, I'm sure. But I think they were ranked in the top half of J2 for goals against. So defensive record as a team was very good. In attack, yeah, Kinoshita's 12 goals was good. I think most of those came in the first half of the season. I think he had a bit of a quieter second half of the year. They got 5 goals from Yutaka Soneda. Here's the other player whose 5 goals all came in wins. And 3 of his goals were winners. And 5 goals from Shoji Toyama, the forgotten man. All of his goals came in the final 12 games of the season. So, which is great, really exciting, because I really enjoyed watching him in Gamba's under 23s a couple of years ago, I think. But they really need more from their attack. But I guess it was enough, I think. Yeah, Mito, their rightful place is mid-table, really. It's an achievement. Like you said, a squad or a club with kind of budget and supporter base is unlikely to be able to push for, you know, automatic promotion. Maybe the playoffs once in a while. But yeah, to have to rebuild your squad from scratch every year, it's hard to aim above mid-table, and to achieve mid-table is a really good thing for that club. And I think this season for Mito is going to be remembered for those two post-game interviews that Akiba gave, one where he got really, really angry, and then the one about 3 days later where he was really emotional. This is Mito Hollyhock, which was really, really, really good. He's moved on. I thought hasn't he gone to Shimizu as head coach or something?
Oh, is that right? Okay, I might have missed it in the World Cup shuffle. Yes, okay.
Yeah, time zones messing up everyone's heads. Yeah, I thought that he's not the manager, but I think he's like head coach or something. So I guess that's a step up. From Mito to Shimizu.
Yeah, so I think we'd better say it is. Yeah, I think yes.
And I think that's great for him, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do next in his career, because I know that for the last 2 years on the pod, we generally people who've been on the pod have been wondering, well, when's he going to leave Mito? Because surely he can't stay much longer. He'll get snapped up, and. Yeah, good luck to him, and good luck to Mito as well. I think that if they can find the right man to replace him, then I think hopefully they'll be all right.
Just some trivia before we move on, James, which I think is possibly relevant. Akiba played 4 games for Japan under 20 level and 1 under 23 level as a centre back and as one match as a defensive midfielder, which, when you consider the football he's produced as a manager, is pretty incredible.
Yeah, maybe he really, really hated it, and that's why he abandoned defence for a few years as a manager. Or maybe something terrible happened and it scarred him for life. Speaking of something terrible scarring for life, let's move on to 14th place, Zeugen Kanazawa, who had the worst defensive record in this group. 13 wins, 13 draws, 16 losses, 56 goals scored, 69 against. You're 52 points. And as I mentioned just now, Victor Arroyo at JFootballAnally1 is going to talk us through their season.
Hello, fellow Japanese football fans. My name is Victor Arroyo. You can also find me on Twitter at JFootballAnalytics, and I will be handling the Zeugen season review. So without further ado, I'll just jump right into it. So my feelings overall on the season, I'd say it was a roller coaster of a season, pretty up and down. We were on pace to, you know, finish with the top half finish, but unfortunately, as expected, tired legs and injuries kind of led to a precarious situation with our center backs that ended up causing a 5-game losing streak where we lost 3-0 in all of the matches, which sent us tumbling down into almost the relegation zone. But we were able to make up for it. The addition of Taiga Sun really helped us to cover that weakness at center back, provided good size, aerial defense, something that we were really missing. And ultimately, we ended up the season 14th overall, which, if I remember correctly, when I did the mid-season review, it was exactly what I predicted, around 14th to 15th overall. So I guess we met my expectations. I knew we weren't able to really sustain that run with the lack of depth that we had. And as to who was our most important player, you know, I want to say Yuto Shirai, but in all honesty, it probably has to be Masamichi Hayashi. Masamichi Hayashi finished with 13 goals, tied for 5th in J2. But honestly, even without Yuto Shirai, we never would have been able to do as well as we have. So I'd say both of those players were our most important players. And as for the biggest surprise, I would also say, yeah, Masamichi Hayashi. If somebody would have told me at the beginning of the season that he would have been our top scorer, I wouldn't have believed him. My guess would have probably been Toyota or, you know, Shimada. But I was very, very happy with what Hayashi was able to provide for us. And he really, really exploded. And yeah, I would say he was the biggest surprise for our team, without a doubt. Now, what was the biggest disappointment of this season? Oh my God. Well, there are quite a few, but I'd say that as a team, it would have to be our defense. We had a surprisingly very potent offense, which, on paper, you wouldn't necessarily expect. But our defense was, simply put, atrocious. We conceded the most shots at 607 shots. We conceded the, yes, a second highest number of goals, which was sad, second only to Omiya. But, you know, it's strange because when you look at our defensive statistics, we were good at certain things, right? We were top 10 in interceptions, top 10 in tackles. But the truth is, I think the scheme that we had set up or that our manager had set up where basically our center backs would focus on positioning instead of being risky and going for tackles and putting that responsibility on our midfielders ended up hurting us because teams just got too many shots on target against us, and that's just a recipe for disaster. So I'd say that's one thing that I would hope gets changed for next season. Maybe see a little bit more aggressive play from our center backs. But I think that's wishful thinking, considering we have Yanagashita as our manager, who is not very receptive to change, let's put it like that. As far as our most disappointing individual player, I would have to say without a doubt, Shinichiro Shimada. He's our number 10. He was supposed to be one of our top players when we signed him. But, you know, ultimately he hasn't really provided much for us. He gave us 3 goals and 1 assist in 35 games. He was fairly versatile. You could really plug him in anywhere that's not in the back line, and he would do a solid job. But, you know, for somebody who we expected to be the guy, you know, 3 goals and 1 assist, that's not star numbers. So, yeah, I would say he was personally the most disappointing player. And as for what was my personal best game of the year, well, I'm a little biased because it was one of the few games I was able to see live when I went to go visit Japan. And it was Swigen versus Yokohama FC on October 16th. Swigen won that match 3-2. There was goals from Sugiura, Hayashi, and Matsumoto. Fujimura got a red card in the 71st minute. And Kleber, the Brazilian forward, came in as a substitute and got two goals in the 66th and 72nd minute. But it was a nail-biter of a match. And not to mention, Shunsuke Nakamura made a sub and had a free kick, and that was a great moment for the fans. It was a fantastic environment, as, you know, for the away fans, and you know, us beating a big fish at the end of the season, that really kind of helped us stay afloat and remove ourselves from the relegation battle against one of the top two teams in J2 was huge for us. And I think we got lucky that Yokohama was pretty much in a position to secure automatic promotion based on results elsewhere. So, I think we caught them on an off night, but it was a fantastic, fantastic match. If you can find it online and watch it, I would highly recommend it. And I got to meet the host of Extra Time, John, there right after the game, and you know, that was also a very special treat. So, I'd put that as my best game of the season for Zweigen, which I think was also Yokohama FSG's game of the year, too, even though it was a loss for them. But I think it just goes to show the quality and how entertaining this match really was. So, what are my thoughts on the team manager this year? I'd say relatively positive overall. He's shown some growth by trying different formations, which, you know, he's been known to not really change much. We tried a 4-3-3 diamond, which is, I think, where Shimada actually shined the best. But we eventually ended up reverting back to our 4-4-2. You know, near the end of the season anyway, so I guess you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I would say that I was fairly surprised by what he was able to do with our offense. We're a very counter-attacking team, and, you know, it worked to great success with us. But unfortunately, I just can't agree with the way that our defense was set up. So that's one thing that I hope maybe changes next year, and that he can grow and figure something out, maybe bring in the right type of players, or maybe Gaku Inaba gets a big jump and he can come in as center back to replace Taiga-san, or hey, maybe we get Taiga-san back. That would be great. I'd love to have him back from Tosu. So we'll see. And I think when you look at our team, our center backs didn't get a lot of tackles. Our team leader in tackles was Keita Fujimura with 84. I believe was 18th overall in J2. And right behind him at 19th was Yuto Nagamine, our star left back, with 83. So, yeah, I would hope that Yanagashita makes some improvements, especially on the defensive end. And I'll be happy. You know, he's a longest tenured J2 manager, and I've really grown to love him, even though he's a little grumpy, but I have hope that he'll be able to tinker with some of our tactics, and it'll lead to an improvement next year if we have the proper recruiting in place. So what are my hopes for Zweigen next season? Well, my expectation is pretty simple. Survive, right? Don't get relegated. You know, we're seeing a lot of big teams going down, and, you know, clubs bigger than us, and we have to maintain pace and continuously improve in order to stay in J2. But my dream, my hope, deep down in my heart, I'm hoping that we move closer to a top half finish or even secure a top half finish. I mean, right now, I think that's looking very unlikely because it seems like we're going to lose some very key pieces of our team. Riku Matsuda just left for Jeff United, a very well-deserved move. Elite defensive right back who's a little undersized but has great energy and can really, really push the ball forward. And he plays with his heart on his sleeve, which is something that I really, really love. And, you know, one of my other hopes maybe for like our some of our individual players is Nagamine. I think Nagamine has shown to be one of the best passing left backs in the league, even though he's so young. But he has a lot of work to do defensively, specifically with his positioning. I think he has gotten pretty good at maybe like tackling the ball, but he does sometimes forgets to mark his man, and that does create some tricky situations for us because Riku Matsuda tends to bolt up to the right and we shift to a back three. So that does put a lot of pressure on him defensively. So if he can make that leap, I think we'll be in a great position next year. And yeah, I think that's everything for me. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye now.
That was Victor Arroyo to talk us through Zuegan Kanazawa's season. Thank you, Victor. Now, John, we've got one more team to talk about, and that's 15th place Machida Zelvia. They finished a point behind Kanazawa, 51 points, 14 wins, 9 draws, 19 losses. What did you think about Machida this year?
Yeah, I don't want to sort of upset Victor or yourself, James, or any other Kanazawa fans might listen. I think if you finish behind Kanazawa, then it's not finished probably where your target was at the start of the season. Mm-hmm. I think for Machida, yeah, as you said, 41 points from, I think, 42 matches. Or 51, isn't it? I'm sorry, 51 yeah. points from 42 games. 15th place. I mean, last season, in 2021, they were fifth and had 72 points. So maths is my weak point, but even I can see that's a pretty steep regression from the previous year. And I think regression is the key word. They were worse in every department than the previous year. This is despite scoring some brilliant goals. And, you know, Kazuma Yamaguchi, for example, he won the official kind of J2 goal of the season award, didn't he, for that kind of 45-yard free kick against Niigata. In terms of the stats, Machida allowed 12 more goals against than they had in 2021 and scored 13 fewer. Not many of their kind of sort of highly anticipated attackers, including, you know, a lot of them were bigged up by me, I think. I'll hold my hands up. Nobody really stood out this year apart from Taiki Hirato, who I think was in your team of the season or close to it. And I think the fact that this season was just a huge disappointment has been reflected in what's happened since the season finished. It looks like the front office are making a clean sweep on the kind of backroom side. Ranko Popovic, the coach, is out. And the new man in the hot seat is Go Kurada. And this is going to be his first kind of pro managerial job, although he does have an impressive CV at the high school level with the Aomori Yamada Club, a very famous high school for football in Japan. Yeah, I think Machida, and I think this is probably going to lead into your comments, James, they flattered to deceive for most of the season, never really convinced, and you only have to look at how they finished the season. They're 5 straight defeats, and they ended without any wins in their last 10 matches. So yeah, the season really just fizzled out completely for them in the last couple of months. I will add before I hand back to you that Machida, I do have a soft spot for, but it was hard to like them last season because of this quite annoying tendency to turn into a sort of pound shop Uruguay at times, sort of surrounding the referee. And, you know, they ended up being the kind of team where even when they had been wronged or didn't get a decision that they should have done, I kind of didn't mind, or I actually thought they kind of deserved not to have it because they were just so kind of unlikable. And I think any team with Shohei Takahashi in it's going to be hard to like, but even players like Taiki Hirato have all the skill in the world. I don't know, I'm getting old clearly, but I wish they'd just shut up and play the game and just stop moaning at the referee. But I wonder if that will change under Kurada, because he's coming from a high school background where we're often told that sort of, you know, respect and good manners is something that's quite intrinsic to sort of education culture in Japan. So we'll see if that changes. But that happened way too often for me this year, that I saw Machida players surrounding the referee, gesticulating, pretending to be injured, falling down. So yeah, I hope there's less of that from them in 2023 under Go Kurada. But yeah, what do you think about Machida, James?
Mm, The first line of my notes for Machida just says blech. And I think because I thought that this season would be like the culmination of the, you know, the three years development under Ranko Popovic. You know, they build on last year's fifth place finish, but ended up with a just dreadful end. But then when I looked again, that 2019 they finished 18th, 2020 they finished 19th. 2021 5th, 2022 15th. So actually last year was the anomaly, and maybe this year was not so bad in the grand scheme of things. But the thing was that they, just the way they fell away at the end, as you mentioned, no wins in their last 10 is 8 of them are losses. That's really poor, obviously. But they were good in the first half of the season. They spent 22 weeks of the season in the top six. They were in the top 10 from the second week to the 35th, except for a couple of weeks in the middle of that. They're 5 wins from their first 7, and then they're just kind of inconsistent, but staying up, you know, in the top half, top 10, and then just collapsed at the end. It's just bizarre how they fell away. There were some positives, I think, like Taiki Hirato, 9 goals and 10 assists. That's pretty good. Shusuke Ota, 7 goals and 11 assists is also good. They got 8 goals from Dudu and 6 from Chong Tese, 4 from Aria Jasuru Hasegawa. They only got 2 from Vinicius Araujo. That was a really disappointing season from him and a bit of a flop, I think. Mm. And Hasegawa, Dudu and Araujo have left at the end of the season. Chon Tese is retired, I think. So I guess that's part of the clean sweep that you mentioned. I think Kuroda's going to want to bring in obviously a lot of his own players, and it seems like the club is going to assist him in that. Despite that attacking talent, those are some really talented attackers. They didn't score many. Only 51 goals. 14 of them were from set pieces, which suggests a lack of something up front. A lack of clinicalness. That's not the word. Or whatever. A lack of that. Or lack of imagination. Maybe they missed Kazumi Yamaguchi. He was injured for a lot of the year, wasn't he? And yeah, he scored that amazing goal. It would have been nice to see a few more of those from him. Mm-hmm. They defensively not bad. But they conceded 18 goals in the final 15 minutes and additional time of matches, which is the joint worst in the league with Almia. They got a small squad, one of the smaller squads in the league. Mm. So I guess there was not much beyond that first 11. I think that attack, should it have scored more? Was this really a bad season for Machida, or is it just that we're comparing it to last year and last year was an overachievement? I don't know.
James, I think. Yeah, real quick, I just want to add Kaishu Sano, who was a really influential midfielder. He played pretty much every game in the first half of the season, and he was just missing with it. He has a back problem, and he basically just hasn't played since, I think, June with that, and is still not back to fitness, is still not okay. So I think you mentioned the small squad, and him just being like out of the picture completely from the halfway point was a big blow as well. Yeah, but sorry, carry on.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that my final point. I mean, I don't know if this will be classed as a bad season by the club's standards, the club's history. I'm sure they would have wanted to finish higher, but I think it feels like a bad season because of those last 10 games. That's what people are going to remember. They'll remember Yamaguchi's brilliant goal, but they won't remember much else apart from the way the team collapsed in the last 10 games to go from being in the top six to finishing 15th. And on that happy note, let's Let's round things up. I'd like to say thank you again to Lewis, Daniel, Martin and Victor for their contributions to this episode. We really appreciate your time and your thoughts on your teams. And thanks to you, John, as well, for your thoughts on Jeff and Mito and Machida.
Oh, yeah. No, a pleasure. Yeah, I'd like to echo the thanks to the contributors. We were really bowled over by the quality of what people have taken the time to give us in part one and part two. So, yeah, thanks so much for that. And thanks for holding it all together, James.
Yeah, it's masking tape holding it together. But yes,
seems appropriate for J2 somehow.
Yeah, especially when you're getting down to teams like Kanazawa and Machida. All right. Yes. So thanks, everyone. And thanks for listening. And thanks to people who support us on Patreon. We're very grateful for the support that you give to us and to JTalk podcast. And listen out for part three of the J2 reviews. And, of course, the J3 reviews from Mike coming up over the next couple of weeks. See you next time.